You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This month, the government will begin a rollout of roadside drug testing starting in Wellington. The move is aimed at tackling road safety concerns around the impairment of drivers on substances such as marijuana, methamphetamine, cocaine, and MDMA, among others. While this aim is noble, concerns have been raised over the effectiveness of these tests of controlling for impairment. Compared to alcohol, marijuana remains detectable in the system for far longer, raising concerns for those using medical marijuana and potentially those using New Zealand's most common illicit drug. I spoke to a research fellow at the Department of Primary Healthcare and Rural Health at the Dunedin School of Medicine, Dr. Geoffrey Noller, about this testing and what problems remain around impairment and drug usage. Could you walk us through what these road tests are being rolled out for and what they entail?
Okay, so the tests, this goes back to some legislation that was developed about 4 or 5 years ago, which is the idea that obviously that drug driving is a significant problem on roads in New Zealand, associated, according to some data, with maybe 30% of some of the fatalities and so on that occur. And as a consequence, the idea, well, if we can identify people who are impaired by drug driving, then we can reduce those fatalities. So that's the basic idea that was put out.
And so with these tests, what are they actually looking at in terms of these drug driving incidents?
Yeah, well, that's where it gets interesting. Ideally, I suppose you'd say that they're looking for impairment. So you're trying to detect whether a driver's impaired. The issue, and it's currently, they're looking at rolling this out in Wellington, starting, I think, in December. And we're looking at methamphetamine, cannabis, I think cocaine, and I think there's one other as well, one other drug. And so these are like the sort of primary drugs that they're looking at the moment. And the idea is that these are the most likely substances that are going to be impairing people, and as a consequence, those are the ones that are going to be targeted. If we stick with cannabis, that's where it gets potentially a bit problematic, because cannabis stays in your system for quite a long time, and the current test that they're using, which is an Australian test, claims that it can detect the active ingredient of cannabis if it's been vaped or smoked in the oral cavity. So they're basically going to do a swipe inside a person's mouth, and the suggestion is that test will detect the presence of the active ingredient of cannabis for up to 8 to 12 hours. Now, if you're a heavier user of cannabis, that will stretch out to potentially 30 hours. The thing is, though, a person who's used cannabis 10 hours previously is very unlikely to be impaired. So you're then moving into the territory where the test is actually testing for use rather than impairment. And I think that's one of the big problems that we're going to see. Probably it stems from when the regulations were first set up, that the government, and this was back in about 2021, the government appointed an expert panel to look at the different drugs, and there's over 20 drugs that they're focusing on, and a number of these are pharmaceutical drugs. At that time, medicinal cannabis wasn't, even though medicinal cannabis was legally available in New Zealand, it wasn't particularly prevalent in terms of a medication that people were prescribed. There was only one product, if you like, or only one medicine. If you fast forward another 4 years, the medicinal cannabis component has massively increased. And so the panel thought, oh, well, if it's a medicinal product, which is a legitimate product to use, then there's not going to be very many people involved or potentially detected. And so basically they're going to be detecting the people who are using cannabis illicitly and potentially going to be impaired. However, because medicinal cannabis has become so much more prevalent in terms of its being prescribed in the intervening years, it's much more likely that they're going to pick people up for cannabis use and driving, even if they're not necessarily impaired. And I think that's potentially part of the problem, because there's all sorts of people can be prescribed cannabis. And if they're using the cannabis as directed on their prescriptions, and if you look at the descriptions on a prescription on the container that people get with their cannabis, it will say things like don't use 12 hours before driving. So if people are using their prescribed legal cannabis correctly, they're not going to be impaired. However, there is a potential for them to be picked up, and I think that's going to be a problem.
On that point, right, when comparing cannabis to substances like alcohol, which have for a long time been road tested with impairment, how can this kind of existence, both in the fact that medicinal cannabis in a legal usage is more common, but also the fact that they can potentially test for illegal use of cannabis, how will this kind of affect the role that the test will play? Does it make it less useful, or does it kind of bring us into an oversight area?
It'll be really interesting to see actually how it plays out. I think it's going to be, you know, the results potentially of the on-site testing are going to be more equivocal. Like if you test for the presence and, you know, of alcohol, if you're driving a vehicle, it's pretty clear that you've consumed alcohol relatively recently, and as we all know, alcohol is significantly associated with a large number of accidents in New Zealand. If it's cannabis that's been detected, and there's the possibility that a proportion of those people. And cannabis, remember, is our number one illicit drug, as well as being a prescribed drug. It's still easily the number one most prevalent illicit drug. If you're detecting a drug that may or may not have impaired you and potentially isn't illegally accessed, you know, you're moving into quite difficult territory there. And of course, all sorts of people potentially prescribed cannabis, including professional drivers. There'll be, you know, so this not only is it the private person who's potentially going to be picked up by this and maybe, if you like, unfairly penalised, i.e. they're not impaired, they've been using their prescribed cannabis appropriately and they're still picked up. You're also potentially picking up people who may be professional drivers, some other kind of professional capacity, and so that has the potential to impact on their working lives as well as their private lives. So it's an unknown quantity at this point. We just don't know how this is going to work. But because cannabis is relatively prevalent, cannabis use is relatively prevalent in New Zealand, there is a potential for it to unfairly impact on people who aren't actually impaired.
Kind of on that unfair angle, what about, is there a concern that these testings might further some of the inequitable targeting or policing of drug usage in Aotearoa? Are more vulnerable communities more likely to be penalised over this?
Yeah, very, very much so. I mean, it's well recognised, for example, that Māori, for example, particularly young Māori, are potentially more likely to be interdicted or picked up by the police. And, you know, that's well known that that's the case. Māori also use cannabis at a higher prevalence than non-Māori, and that doesn't mean that Māori are more likely to drive while impaired. That's a totally different matter. It's simply the idea of use. And so if a person is perceived by the police, oh, gee, they're more likely, they look like they might be someone we want to test. I mean, the police will probably say, well, look, you know, we don't racially profile people and so on. But the reality is that Māori in particular are far more likely to be focused on in that kind of environment than non-Māori. So that's an example. Young people generally, if we're looking at patterns of substance use in Aotearoa, then it's, you know, we have to be, you know, pretty clear that younger people are more likely to use substances. And so, you know, there are a number of populations, if you like, that may be more likely to be focused on as a consequence of these regulations and may be more likely to experience negative consequences.
And I mean, just to wrap up then, with all of that in mind, is there a way that these tests can be carried out in a way that avoids these unfair targetings or avoids the issues with medicinal cannabis? Or is this pretty much just an idea that's dead on arrival?
Well, I wouldn't say it's dead on arrival. I mean, it's certainly really important to reduce, roadside motor vehicle accidents and so on. We obviously we want to do that. And according to the data that the government provide, it seems that there's a significant proportion of people who are impaired by drugs as other than alcohol. And so therefore it would be important to try and do something about that. I guess, you know, one of the things, and we don't, as I say, we don't know how much the business of medicinal cannabis is going to impact. It may be that it turns out that we're all just sort of freaking out about this and it's actually not going to be that much of a problem. But certainly at least I would have thought at least, you know, training the officers who are running, who are starting to administer these tests, and as I say, it's going to start in Wellington and then it's going to spread out, at least educating them about the possibility that there will be people potentially being picked up for cannabis who are legally available, allowed to have that cannabis. I think that would be important. You know, this is very sort of what we call a kind of negative halo effect with drug use, where, and cannabis is a classic example, where the moment you mention cannabis and it's attributed to someone, its use is attributed to a person, immediately the idea becomes, oh, well, this person is using this illegally, you know, they're a criminal. We have to immediately respond to the fact that they've tested positive, and there's no assumption about anything else. Whereas if there was some information about, well, look, you know, there may be some people that you pick up in your tests, and they may say, well, look, I've got a cannabis prescription, then, you know, that there is a legal defence for it, but you've got to actually go through quite a bit. You know, if you get picked up and you aren't impaired, but the test says you've got this cannabis in your system, then you have to go through quite a process ultimately to determine through your using the you know, displaying your prescription, and there'll be a process that you have to go through legally to actually get into a situation where you can move on from that without having some kind of conviction, I would imagine. I mean, certainly my thought would be that if people have a cannabis prescription, a medicinal cannabis prescription, they might want to think about having some evidence of that with them, which, you know, might sound a bit weird, but inevitably it is going to pick up people who have been prescribed cannabis, and they're going to have to make the case that they were using their cannabis appropriately and that they have a legal prescription for it. So it makes sense to, you know, have some kind of evidence perhaps with them when they're driving. You know, it is important that we're safe on the roads. It's terribly important, but how we manage a new process is important as well. And thinking about how we do that, and the police thinking about it as well, so that, because of course, if you're having really negative interactions with police in a situation where a person feels that they're being unfairly treated, you know, that undermines the relationship between the police and the public. So maybe there's just some subtlety and a bit more information that needs to be, you know, included in this whole process. But I guess over the next few months, we're just going to see how it happens. But as I say, it's potentially problematic not only for New Zealanders generally, but also for people who might be involved professionally as drivers and so on.
That was Research Fellow at the Department of Primary Healthcare and Rural Health at the Dunedin School of Medicine, Dr. Geoffrey Noller, on new roadside drug testing in Aotearoa and what it means for impairment and legal use of cannabis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.